I wrap up the whole thing. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. We have already established that God is an unchanging God, and His Word is unchanging, eternal. And we read that in verses 24 to 25 of chapter 1. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. Man is like the flower, today is and tomorrow no more. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know how gracious God is? He preaches His word to you so that you might be blessed by the eternal, unchanging blessings of God. But why is it that some of us are not blessed as much as we should be blessed? Look at chapter 2. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There are two important counsels here from Peter. That if you want to receive the eternal blessings of the unchanging God and His eternally relevant, sufficient word, you must lay aside your sinful aspirations. Now the word laying aside comes from a Greek word that is often used in Greek language for the removal of earwax. You know, you dig out earwax. If there is too much earwax, you can't hear well, right? And do you know what blocks the proper hearing and blessings of God's word? Sins. Your sinful desires. And look at the categories. There are five categories of sins mentioned here. All of them are in plural. All malice. It's not just one kind of maliciousness. All kinds of maliciousness. You must accept we are malicious people. In our heart there are so much deceit. So much maliciousness. You know, mischievousness in our heart. The word malice here has the idea of mischievousness. Malicious attitude. Malicious thoughts. Malicious behavior. Have you recognized them all? You know, please don't come to church and sit there and say, Lord, please bless me because I come to church. I'm a good fellow, right? No. Say, Lord, I know if I need to be blessed by the preaching of the word today, I must have a desire to have my sins removed. Lord, if there is any sin that I'm still stuck with, please tell me. What's that sin that easily beset me? Lord, if there is any sin that is hidden to my eyes, any sin that it is which is still secret to me, please let me have the knowledge of it. And I want it to be removed. You see, Christians should not be in any way cherishing or tolerating sin within us. We must hate every sin in us. Sometimes we are quick to say, I hate that sin of that person. I hate him because he has this bad habit. But have you started hating your own sin? Do you like to have a lot of earwax in your ear? If you feel a little itchy, you will go and clear it up, right? Surely you will take away. I was very particular about my children's ear. I constantly used to check. I still check my younger girl's ear. I say, come here, let me check. Because she used to have lots of earwax. And I still dig her ear. Once in a while. And so the big boy will come and say, Daddy, mine too, please. Said, yours is very clear, nothing, but just check. Because everybody is happy to clear the ear. You know, they don't like anything to stick around and causes the discomfort. Christians should be like that. We should be very glad to remove our sins. We can't allow it to stay on there. It can bring infections. You know, when you tolerate one sin, it will lead to another. It will multiply in no time. It's like cancer. If you don't deal with it, if you don't remove it, it's going to stay there and spread very quickly. So if you want to be blessed by God, take out all malice. Don't ever give excuse by saying, oh, actually I was so bad, you know, now that I'm not so bad. Now this is a worst problem in Christians. A lot of Christians will say, you know, Pastor Koshi, you must thank God, I've changed so much. Last time I used to smoke, I used to womanize, but now I don't do it. Only watch a bit of pornography, occasionally. Last time I used to sing all kinds of filthy songs. Now I don't sing, but only listening, quietness. You know, we try to give excuses by saying, oh, this sin is not as bad as last time. Just a bit only, just a small fraction of it. That's exactly the problem. Remove all malice. And then what's the next category? All guile, all kinds of deception. All guile, all forms of pretension. All kinds of lying, deceit. You know, lie does not become lie only when you tell lies to others. You can lie to yourself. When you know a thing is wrong, you still tell yourself, it's okay, never mind, it should be all right. Never mind, not to worry. Anyway, you have been doing this for last 10 years. Nobody found out. So it should be okay. You know, that's how some men are suddenly caught in adultery. When they begin, they look around very scared. You know, make sure that nobody around, and talk to the lady, go with the lady, take the car or fetch her. And when the wife asks, how come you're late? Oh, today I sign off later, I have a lot of work. Actually went to fetch the lady back home. I tell a bit of lie here and there. First time you spend time together, nobody found, and you became very bold. And you tell yourself, never mind, I can still cover up next time also, until you get caught. Right? And sometimes we tell lies to ourselves. Cheating in exams, not doing homework and copying it from your friends. And you say, it's okay, never mind, nobody would know. God is displeased. You will not be blessed. So remove them, all guile. And then he says, hypocrisies. Now that's in plural. Hypocrisies have many different kinds of hypocrisies. I gave you some examples just a while ago. You watch what kind of hypocrisies you have. There are people who never pray on their own, but they come to the pulpit, oh, you must listen to the prayer. Actually, they copied it from Charles Spurgeon's prayer book. They will go to Christian book rooms and look for all the prayers of all Puritans and get that and come here. Oh, mighty God, everlasting Father, may our spiritual sacrifices be acceptable to God, but never even shed one tear all the whole week. That's one kind of hypocrisy. Many times. You watch out. You must remove them. It can be hypocrisy at home, before the wife, before the husband. There are some people who say, I'm praying, and they go on their knees and fall asleep. Then at the end say, Amen. Actually never prayed. I remember once, when I was very young, we had a prayer meeting. The last man prayed and we all woke up, but one man is still lying on his knees, you know, on the floor. He's sleeping. Then suddenly he realized we all woke up. He said, Lord, I will not wake up until you bless me. We have all tricks, all kinds of tricks. Watch out. You can't fool God and expect Him to bless you. All right, look again. And envies, you see, that's also plural. All kinds of envies. All evil speakings. There are all kinds of evil speakings. Lie is an evil speaking. Gossip is an evil speaking. Vulgar words are evil speaking, isn't it? Vulgar songs are evil speaking. All the chats on internet which are not godly are evil speaking. Facebook and blogs, watch out. Now gossiping is getting faster and quicker and better with all the modern equipment, right? When there was no telecommunication and internet facility, people have to wait until they see one another to talk. Now no need to even see one another. You don't even need to touch the phone. SMS. Now, evil speaking is one of the worst sin of the modern day. Terrible. Rumors and gossips. Watch out, my dear friends. If you ever engage in such things in the church, you cannot be blessed. You will not grow as a Christian. You will not grow out of all the obstacles and struggles that you face in this world. Lay aside. Dig them out one by one. I think if each of you here every day consciously take time, as many times as you could, maybe on the bus, maybe while you are driving, to look into your own life to remove the sins that are easily besetting you, then you will be a great blessing. Put a finger here and turn back to Psalm 19. And I'm sure you're familiar with this verse, but let's read together. Let this be our prayer also. Psalm 19, 1-9. Verses 12 and 13. Read with me, please. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Great transgressions begin from a heart that is not purified from secret sins. Sins that we secretly entertain in us. Sins that may be hidden to us, they slowly grow, deceiving us into greater sins. So David prayed, O Lord, it's not easy for any man to understand his own errors. I need your help. Let the light of the gospel, let the light of the word shine on me. Let the Holy Spirit show me. You know, husbands and wives, and there are those who are married here, you might have been living together for 20 years or 30 years, but that doesn't mean your responses to your spouse is correct all the time. You might have developed a kind of disrespect for the other over the years. And because you have been doing it for so many months and years, you don't even realize it's a mistake. And only when somebody else listens to you, oh, they talk like this. Then they realize. And you don't even realize. And this can become very bad in time to come. Sometimes I'm surprised, you know. I get calls from Christians who have been together for 30 years fighting. You know, like not too long ago, a couple who are in the 60s called me and said, Pastor Koshi, cannot take this woman anymore. I cannot bear with my husband anymore. I think enough love. Anyway, our children are all have grown up. Now we can go to our own ways. In the 60s, they are talking about divorcing one another. And the fact that children have grown up gives them more room for divorce. I was shocked. It all began with lack of courtesies for one another. When the wife cooks, he would not say thank you, always criticize. They won't greet one another when they wake up. The first thing the husband says, go and make coffee. Then she makes coffee. Darling, coffee is ready. Yeah, leave it there. And when he wants, he will drink and leave it there. But if the coffee is not there, if he can't smell it, he will make a lot of noise. You know, little courtesies go a long way. Good morning. Thank you. Please. When all these disappear, things get worse in relationships. And sometimes we don't realize our sins. You know what I'm trying to say? And children sometimes don't realize how you disrespect your parents. Because you think you have grown to a certain age. You are no more a primary school child. You are now in university. Or your dad has never been to university. So you feel very great about it. And then you can disrespect your father. And you just walk away from home after shouting and screaming and showing bad face to the parents. And then on the way you pray, Lord bless me. It's not going to work very well. And sometimes we justify by saying, anyway, everyone is like that. I saw so and so doing the same in the church. And we give excuse for our behavior. Oh, we cannot. If you want your lives to be spared from great transgressions, pray, Lord, cleanse me from secret faults. Cry out. The second thing that you should do, according to verse 2, come back to 1 Peter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There must be a constant desire. Once you remove sins, once you are committed to the removal of sins, then the heart will thirst and hunger for God's word. You know, one of the things you must make sure is that when you stop going the way of sin, you must start going after the righteousness of God. You can't say, I'm a Christian, I'm no more doing this and that, I'm now going to be, you know, a person who is not interested in sinful things. And then you sit there and waste your time doing nothing that is pleasing to God. Sooner or later, you will go back again. You can never be an inactive Christian. There's no such thing. Every Christian has to walk and grow with the Lord. And the way to do is to desire the sincere milk of God's word, like a newborn babe. Now, I think it was last night or yesterday morning that I talked about the fact that, you know, my son was very hungry. And I said, you know, it's not easy to pacify a child who is hungry, right? It's very difficult. Or you can sing all the songs, you know. You can show all the toys, but a hungry child will never stop crying. All the time until it gets milk. It'll wake up all the neighbors too. Do you have that kind of hunger for God's word? I must hear God's word. No matter what. That's what going to make me realize the blessings of an unchanging eternal God. That's what going to make me a strong Christian. When the world and the friends around me all go after sin, I must have the strength to live for His righteousness. Oh Lord, feed me. with the words of thy righteousness. A constant desire, a great appetite. I ask you, do you read your Bible more than you watch TVs? Instead of looking at the Facebook, look at your face in the book of God's Word. Then you will see you growing. You will grow thereby. Just one more thing from verse 3. If you lay aside all your sins and desire, crave after the Word of God, then verse 3 has this promise. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you lay aside your sins and grow in the Word of God, like a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of God's Word, then you will taste constantly that the Lord is gracious. All sufficient grace, ever abiding, abounding, rich, strengthening grace will come to your life and you will taste it. You will know it. If you are a Christian who entertains sin, if you are a Christian who is least interested in the truth of God's Word, you will never have this glorious blessing of growing in His grace, tasting the empowerment of His grace. Apostle Paul was a man who said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It is to him that the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my grace is sufficient. So you may find yourself in very difficult circumstances, like in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul was suddenly found himself having a physical affliction, a thorn in the flesh. Well, some say it is not a sickness, but it is a reference to people who persecuted him and so on. Now, whatever it be, it was a problem that he felt in his flesh. He was bodily weakened. And he had great desire to live for God, but circumstances changed. His body was getting weak and he is troubled. And he didn't know what to do. He prayed to the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, but God said, no, but my grace is sufficient. He went from there saying, I will rejoice in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Even our own bodily constitution will change with time. I was telling Min this morning how I feel very tired nowadays. You know, I'm diabetic. And one of the reasons I think I became diabetic was such a young age of 35. I didn't realize I was diabetic. You know, I was really going about very active, playing games and all that. One day when I was in India, visiting my father, he said, son, you better check your blood sugar. He is diabetic and he thinks I might have got it long ago, but you know, didn't realize. So my dad had the kit to, you know, the medical kit to check the blood sugar. So he insisted I must check. So I said, okay, dad. When he checked, he said, oh, yours is 2 times higher than mine. I said, must be something wrong with your kit. Then he said, okay, check again. True enough. Then he said, okay, never mind. Tomorrow morning in fasting, let's check. Same. So I went to the doctor. And the doctor did a thorough checkup and he said, boy, it's a miracle you are alive. I said, why? Not only my sugar level is 3 times high, and he says my triglyceride is 5 times the normal. He said, I'm surprised you don't have a heart attack. 5 times the normal. Then I said again the same thing, I think your machine is wrong. because I was in Singapore for too long. I don't trust the Indian machines. But they are very advanced. So he said, okay, let's have another lab to check your blood. So we send my blood to another lab, and same results. And he put me on a very strong medication to bring my triglyceride down. And then I came back to Singapore, I went to the polyclinic and did another test. And the doctor said, oh, you are normal. Why do you take this very strong medication? Stop it. Don't take any medication. Come back 2 months later. Went back 2 months later. Triglyceride 5 times. And the doctor said, oh, you came down because of the medication. So go back on medication. So it has been for the last 10 years. And I was telling Min this morning that there was a time I could prepare sermons and work without sleeping. I would go like 2-3 days without sleeping. So much work to do. I was doing my studies, masters and doctoral studies, and at the same time pastoring the church, at the same time teaching in FEBC, and 3 children to look after, no help of any kind, no parents around, no maid. We have to struggle through everything, and so many other preaching engagements. Then started Bible Witness. I just can't sleep. And the Lord gave me the strength. I never felt sick, though I was so sick. Until the doctors said, you better slow down. But now, once I came over to this side of 40, things have changed. Totally changed. I cannot go without sleep. After preaching 2-3 times a day, I feel like I'm going to die. I must have my sleep. At least 5 hours a day, minimum. Life has changed. And sometimes I tell myself, maybe I should stop preaching. Retired. We should go away for 10 years and relax. But then, I say, how can I go away? Who is going to take over the church and the work? No, must go. My grace is sufficient. I still need to grow. I still need to study. I still need to research. I still need to minister to people. But where will the grace be from the Lord? But I must know 2 things. I must not compromise with sin. And I must search Him like a newborn babe through His Word. God will give me all the grace. If so, then you will taste that the Lord is gracious. That's for you, my dear friends. So I conclude. I leave these things with you. So you may grow through changing scenes of life in the grace of God. That you may become a great blessing in the years to come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for bringing thy servant through this place to minister to these brethren who have gathered here. Thank you for these precious lives that you love so dearly, that you sacrificed thy only begotten Son, that they might be redeemed. If anyone has still struggled in the heart, we pray, Father, that you would take away his doubt, his fear or anxiety. May you call that person to thyself, that he may know that the Lord loves him dearly. And that is why he died, to deliver him from his sin. And we pray, Father, that each of us would see that the Lord is gracious by faith. Open our eyes to believe. Oh, draw us by thy everlasting love, we pray. That we may never wander again. That we may never be destroyed by our own sins. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word together. Bless the rest of the camp, the retreat. Bless everyone, both churches, that they might continually praise the Lord through the preaching of the pure word of God in this country, in this city, to many millions who come through here. The thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.